Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels and short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Will is definitely bringing that early morning energy.
That EME, yeah. Baby, on GMH every Monday. And apparently Wednesdays. I got to join the Wednesday crew last week, so that was great.
I know. That's so fun. I'm in New Orleans right now, onboarding some new buildings. So
let's go. A lot of Romy expansion.
Yeah. Woo, woo, woo. We got two new buildings that are on right now, a couple more coming. So just a lot of the like grunt work of like getting all that stuff ready. So yeah,
I can't believe they have their own COO setting up all the stuff by herself, man. What the heck is going on, Andreas?
I have assistance is arriving at the end of the week. So you just got to be adaptable.
End of the week.
Jump on it.
Jeez.
Yeah. Lead from the front, Brandy. That's the way to do it.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Way to go. Set an example for everybody else. All you operators out there. This is what you need to be doing. Michael, how are you doing?
A little tired. Rough night with the baby last night, but we're here. We made it. We got a lot to cover today. And yeah. Shameless self-plug. Check out BBC, especially if you're British. You'll see one of our houses featured this week. Scotland's Greatest Escape.
I love it. BBC covering storied properties. You know, just GMH crew doing the best of the best out here. Come on.
What about you, Will? What you up to, buddy?
Oh, you know, just working on a shit ton of stuff.
So you many are. Things. You've got your hands full.
Yeah.
Hands full.
But we'll have some fun announcements here for GMH, at least in the next month or so. I'm excited to work on, some little projects with the show and, you know, stepping up our game as the number one hospitality podcast out there. So, you know. Can't complain. We have a best of the best. One of our producer, Kelsey, she just had her baby on leap day. So even though I'm short staffed, you know, the first official HFM baby is here. So I told her to get him in front of a computer, learn how to edit and start you know, cutting clips and doing all this stuff. It's, you know, we need him soon.
He's got to earn his keep.
Amen. Amen. And but yeah.
So flying around the short-term rental sphere last night or yesterday was, at least for those of us that don't stay up and watch Saturday Night Live, was an epic, I guess the mainstream of short-term rentals is evidenced by being made fun of on SNL. So
so much
of it was harshly true, but some of it is definitely not a reputation that any of us want for the industry. So well done, SNL and whoever those two actresses were. It was good to see, and we can all kind of take a step back and laugh at some of our competition within the space, because the perception can sometimes be reality. Hopefully not with the hidden camera piece, but definitely with the wall art and the design.
Live, function. Laugh, love.
Design.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chanel and Channel.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be at Level Up Your Listing next week in Scottsdale. And I just know, especially because there's a design panel specifically for short-term rentals on that conference. So I know that's going to be brought up. Chanel and Channel are really going to be resonating throughout the audience pretty well. So it's going to be fun.
It reminds me of like a couple of years ago when just everybody had all IKEA furniture. And, you know, it was like that was like pretty accurate. In terms of the quality you were getting. So, but yeah, you know, I think we've officially made it. We've made it to SNL. So
100%. Well, shout out to Jimmy Rep and everybody else who sent us the video on Instagram and Rob text Patterson. And yeah, everybody who was like, you need to cover this. It's funny. It's always good to see something like that. I think they did a pretty good job. They were pretty respectful, but pretty on point and accurate as well. So
good job, SNL. In less funny news, Expedia laid off about, was it 9% of staff? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong there. It kind of comes at the tail end of the stock price being at a really, really good place. But because they've done so much tech integration of the back end of the businesses, I would suspect the vast majority of that is going to be technical roles. So if you're looking to hire in the technical space, I'm sure some people formerly at Expedia would love to hear from you.
Yeah, Steve Trover from Better Talent, start swooping up some talent right there. They'll probably need a good placement if they're wanting to stay in the industry. Really exciting news, though, because we've seen this kind of like breaking news just announced this morning. Muse just raised another round of $110 million, bringing their total valuation of $1.2 billion. We got to cover a little bit of Muse last week on the hotel crew, but I've had Richard Valter, the CEO and founder, or not CEO, sorry, the founder on Slick Talk twice, and just an incredible leader, incredible visionary. So to hear this next milestone, it's like, all right, they're growing pretty rapidly, and tomorrow I'll be recording, but it won't be out until the end of March. I'll be with their CTO going over a product roundtable. So news will definitely be touched on with Alice from Sensible as well, who's the VP of product over there. So fun product roundtable for any nerds out there that want to hear more about behind the scenes of building a team and engineering and all the product stuff that go in. So I'm excited.
It's exciting to see money flowing into hospitality. Every time we get these stories, it feels like a little win.
I think it's what we will continue to see, which is the big keep getting bigger. There's consolidation at the top, particularly on the vendor side. So we know Muse has a venture arm as well. So hopefully they can kind of play role of VC and invest in stuff that they see doing well in their marketplace. And that's kind of a no-brainer win for both sides. If you need money and your biggest partner is telling you you're doing a great job, then that's it's a likely acquisition, a road to acquisition. So big fan of what Muse has done, kind of revamping the legacy hotel software. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think what they are to hotels, and particularly independent hotels, Guesty is to short-term rentals. And you know, I think Guesty's done some acquisitions as well. So the big keep getting bigger and the small start to go away.
Or the small become part of the big. They get acquired, which is part of the strategy with this capital raise. I think when I read the article, it's to develop more product, to do more acquisitions. All the funding from this round came also from the investors of the last round of $185 million. There is one new partner that came in on this round. So exciting to see that the current investors believe in the product enough to continue to invest such a huge amount. And there's a quote or a comment from one of the investors saying, in a short period of time, since our initial investment, Muse has outperformed our expectations as it's moved into new geographics and segments. So it's, you know, I think one comment we all make to see, you know, throughout, I think like venture capital in general, like venture capitalists don't really, like, they set high expectations, really high expectations. So to have a company that they invest $185 to now $110 million into, that's quite a comment or a compliment, I would say, for that. But I want to
at this stage, that size of investment is not terribly risky. The business is on good. The metrics all look good. So very, very impressive, especially in this environment. It's a well done Muse.
Yeah. And shout out to Matt, who is the CEO of Muse, who is watching the live, saying thanks for a shout out. We love you guys. So big congrats and keep moving forward. Love it. And also for this comment, we will, we don't have like a link for the roundtable yet. It will be out at the end of the month. So I'll make sure to find you once we have that link ready. So we'll get you, make sure you have that link. But outside of that, what's the next story?
I think there's two big ones that we can spend some time on. But I'm interested both in Capital One and Hilton's partnership with AutoCamp. And they're both kind of going down the same road, which is more chances of distribution off of the top three OTAs. So Brandy, I know you're vying for some Capital One eyeballs and love. I'll let you kick it off.
Well, it's not surprising that the other credit cards are getting into this game, you know, and I think it's great. I saw the boutique, we love them. They're one of the first partners. If anyone from Capital One is watching it, I know another urban operator who would love to be part of your platform. But I think how I see this going, I mean, I think Chase, like the Sapphire cards are probably next for this kind of platform. And I just don't, like, long-term, I'll be curious to see who actually like sticks it out, because these distribution networks are really difficult to maintain. They're very complex. And if there's all these little ones, I'll be, you know, someone's going to get more of the eyeballs, more of the money, more of the pie. So it'll be interesting to see which of these credit cards really like pull off a full, you know, a fully, I don't know, formed distribution platform. And I'd be willing to try on any of them. So,
yeah, I think, you know, Brandy's preached on this show many, many times, diversification, not being overly exposed on any one channel. And when Amex has started to poke around in space, Capital One, you know, recently announced, I think it gives us opportunities to look outside of our, you know, typical direct plus Vrbo plus Airbnb and all of those you want exposure on. There's no reason not to be on them. But it's great to have more channels. What I'm interested in seeing is more of the mass market play. A lot of these channels are going for luxury and luxury only. And you see that with Capital One's kind of announced partners with Boutique and AvantStay. Yeah, those are where users are going to be burning a lot of points. But what about the users that want to go spend two nights somewhere in, you know, in a one or two bedroom property, right? I'm curious, and we've seen this with the hotel side too, with the hotel side, like Marriott Homes and Villas plays more at the higher end, and Hyatt bought Mr. and Mrs. Smith that plays more at the higher end. No one's coming in and playing in that mass market segment. So maybe that's their long-term goal and plan, and they all want to start with luxury, but I think there is a missed opportunity with the mass market.
So Marriott is a great example, because when they started, it was only luxury. Like, they came and did full inspections of all your properties, and now you can just connect to them. And if you have a product to distribute, they'll distribute. They will, like, if you get bad reviews and things like that, they will, you know, be able to pass some judgment on whether your listing can stay. But I think that the flashy news piece is, you know, I have AvantStay, Boutique, these luxury brands. And then once they kind of build, they get that like PR push of announcing the product, then you'll start to add whoever can successfully connect to your distribution platform. Because what they want is more properties to cover that like mass market. I just don't think you'll get the kind of PR, because it's not sexy to be like, we have people that are spending, you know, two nights in Cincinnati, but that's where if there's a lot more of those people, then they're booking, you know, a week.
Shout out Cincinnati.
No shade to Cincinnati, but it's a bit different than booking, you know, like a massive ski house in Park City or a villa in the Bahamas or something like that.
I think you guys all made the great point. It's easier to market these higher end properties than it is to hit a midterm, or not even a midterm, sorry, it's not the right phrase, but a mid-level or mid-tier home or apartment. And so I think, you know, the obvious easy route to start is with luxury. It's more bookable, it's more attractive, it makes it look all sexy and great. So I think that's going to be obviously the easy game plan. Homes and Villas did the same thing when they started their program. You know, last week we covered a little bit on like the Hilton and the auto camp side, which I won't jump into now. Like, listeners, go back and check out that episode if you haven't listened. But, you know, Marriott did announce its 200 millionth loyalty member to the program of Bonvoy. So to have that type of attention and I would say active engagement, like from an audience, that in itself is so powerful. So I'm really excited for, I think, Capital One, Amex, these other unique distribution channels. They really do matter, because like I see all these OTAs kind of pop up now, like, you know, we're going to waive our fees, we're going to do this. That's great, but there's no eyeballs or attention. There's no loyalty. And so like to have the magical power of loyalty and engagement, these channels, Homes and Villas, Marriott, or not Marriott, Hilton, Capital One, Amex, Chase Sapphire, they're all going to play such a huge role on unique distribution outside of the OTAs with a loyalty touch, which I think a lot of people, you know, can be skeptical if you book on Airbnb or if you book on another OTA, that you're not going to have a guest that's usually as loyal. They're probably not going to be a repeat customer unless you're able to actually do a killer 5-star job. But I think these travelers are probably going to be a little bit more loyal to brands, and especially with their points.
Terry, I appreciate it. I do think the year is a mass market opportunity here. Now, that said, Marriott's doing a really good job. You know, it's tough to enter the market and then move upscale. It's a lot easier to move downscale. Yeah. And also, you know, Marriott being the biggest, baddest game in town took the biggest risk of being the first mover in the space in a meaningful way. We've certainly seen others. Hyatt's played in it. Choice has played in it. Wyndham obviously had a huge stake in it, but in a totally different way. But I think people are looking over at Marriott's success and saying, man, maybe we should do that. Look at all the properties and how many people are earning and burning. It's not just about earning points on the platforms, but you know, these loyalty accounts are basically bank accounts, and they have to bank them, each of these, both credit cards and hotel companies. So I think, everyone just wants to burn as many of our points that we have as possible.
Yeah, those are just sitting on their balance sheets. And to that point, creating loyalty, like really well-functioning loyalty programs, are very difficult. It is kind of surprising that Airbnb hasn't come out with one yet, just given, you know, their scale. But that's where these credit card companies really have a leg up, because they've already built out this really complex infrastructure for points. And so it's really, I mean, aside from having to connect to like different distribution partners, they already have like the rails, the network, like done for that. And so it's a great strength of theirs to leverage. And people are weirdly loyal to their credit cards if you have like some of like the higher end ones. Like if you're an Amex Platinum card holder, like that's your credit card, you're only doing things with them. So I think it's a great strength that they're going to leverage. And I think it'll be interesting maybe in a year or two to look back and see, you know, what the channel mix diversification starts to look like. And I can provide some real data in a year if I can get on these.
Hey, we'll push you out to Capital One. You know, we'll start pimping out Romy a little bit over here. But I'm excited for, you know, speaking of like the news, like Muse raising this, you know, this capital and getting the $1 billion valuation. I'm excited for these distribution platforms to not have to use a distribution hub, like a channel manager, right? Like I'm excited for these direct vertical integrations with PMSs, because Brandy, you and I, we're like connected on this level. I hate channel managers. I think it's such a, like, I'm going to get canceled if I say this.
Well, there goes any future sponsorship with a channel manager.
Hey, I don't mean, I don't want their money. Their money is dirty money. But I will say, like, it's going to be exciting for these APIs to open up and make it easier for distribution channels with loyalty and engagement connected to a PMS directly. I think it's going to be a game changer for the technology ecosystem if we can start cutting out the middleman of the middleman, basically. That's my excitement. I'm hoping that Capital One and Homes and Villas, like Homes and Villas directly is integrated with, you know, Hostfully and other property management platforms. They don't need a channel manager to properly integrate. And so I think, you know, these are going to be exciting. And sorry, Terry, I know I got a little wild there. So
it's a Will rant. It's a Will rant this time.
Yeah.
Can't forget. Early morning energy.
Yeah, too much coffee this morning. Sorry, guys. If any channel manager people are out there, I'm sorry. I'm sure you're doing a great work, but I'm not a fan. Anyways, let's move on to the next story. This one's exciting.
One more point. So the channel managers are what makes this possible with all of the new entrants, the Capital Ones, the Amexes, probably even the Hiltons of the world. And I'll transition into the Hilton comments with this last piece. I think the OTAs have to figure out, and kudos to Expedia for trying to figure out One Key and a loyalty play, because with credit card companies and now hotels coming at them, market share, you know, projections might not look great over the next decade. Nothing's going to happen overnight. You know, no one's going to come in and grab loads of market share from the OTAs right away. But if consumers start getting used to being able to book short-term rentals on Marriott or, you know, Airstreams on Hilton, then it then does become a little bit more of a brand loyalty play than it does who has the most options and the best options.
Yeah, it strikes me as this might be one of the avenues to kind of release the stranglehold that some of the major OTAs have. And it gives people more of that, because we've talked it before, like who's going to come to kind of eclipse Airbnb, and it might not be eclipsing them. It might just be lessening the, you know, the market share.
For sure. For sure. Well, that's all really great. And that's kind of perfect segue for our next story with the Kasai domain being purchased by Travel AI. I'm excited about this story because I've gotten to see behind the scenes with Travel AI and met one of the founders, and they're lean and they're scaling like crazy. It's insane. So I'll leave it open to you guys to maybe bring up any discussions. But the overall story for any of our viewers and listeners right now, Kasai was an operator out in Latin America. They unfortunately, after raising some capital, are no longer in operations. They closed their doors. And the domain was purchased by this company called Travel AI. And what Travel AI does is basically they're a meta site. So they pull a bunch of inventory from Booking, Expedia, and other OTA platforms, and they create local niche driven SEO, like hard, like heavy SEO driven websites to get these bookings into their funnel, basically. And it's a great, like I've seen, like seeing the back end was wild for me to see the amount of bookings that they're getting. They're generating content through AI itself. So the pictures, the blogs, all these things, like, and it's accurate, like pretty well accurate. Obviously they have people that are going through and verifying everything and making sure like it's obviously cleaned up, but it's an exciting time to, you know, the comment that was in the article is that, you know, Kasai.com is actually profitable day one as a domain for them because of their scalability. And they're pulling, again, this is not inventory that they're managing or operating. So they're just driving inventory to these, you know, domains and generating immediate traffic and bookings. So it's pretty unique. It's pretty cool. Go ahead, Brandy. What's up?
Yeah. What's interesting is on the site, they have like, it's like the meta search site, but then one of the, I'm going through some of their, the different cities, but then one of them, like some of the links are to Home2Go, which is another meta travel site. So that just seems, I mean, that seems a little silly to me, but I'm excited. It's a really interesting play for them. And I think the domain is certainly like a sexier, more customer friendly domain that already has, you know, some brand recognition. So that was a smart play on their part.
Yeah, some people are just smarter than me. So I came to that conclusion a long time ago, and you know, I'll never get there, but we can try and learn as much as we can along the way. So well,
hey, spend $5 on marketing and earn $65 in a booking. Like that's great marketing.
I can do that math.
Yeah, no, like no, it's really smart. Like the way they built it, though, like it's great math, but the way they built it, just super lean and just making things pretty much on autopilot. It's a great business model. I wish I didn't think of, or wish I thought of it, but you know.
So it's all good. Brandy, you want one more comment before we move over?
Yeah.
Yeah, just on the concept of like the lean team, I love hearing that. Just because, I mean, it's really tempting. I especially imagine on like the tech side which is like a lot of expensive hires to kind of go crazy. So I love that they're being conscious about that, because that's definitely, it's not just like a tech company play to overhire, but it's certainly part of that brand. mm-hmm. So love that they're being really smart about the way they're operating.
I agree.
So on our 200th episode, on Wednesday, Will covered with our hotel crew a partnership between AutoCamp and Hilton. And for those that aren't familiar with AutoCamp, it's basically glamping with the mobile homes and being able to Airstreams, rather, is a better term than mobile homes. And they do a really, really good job of common spaces. It's basically a landscape hotel or a dispersed hotel glamping. Lots of different names, buzzwords for it, but not really something you would have thought to associate with Hilton. So it's really, really interesting. I mean, I would liken AutoCamp more to a short-term rental community than I would a full-blown hotel, but there's definitely flavors of both. And to see Hilton's kind of first soiree, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but first soiree into short-term rentals, I think this is an interesting path. It ties in directly with the Capital One comments and the Marriott Homes and Villas comments. People are, especially the major flags, are in an inventory grab, and being able to tie in new differentiated types of inventory that you can earn and burn points with is massive. So Will and I used to have this game on this show before Brand even joined, called "Whose Brand Is It Anyway?", where we would dig in deep and find a hotel brand, a sub brand of a major flag, because at the time there were like 126 brands to the five biggest flags. My guess is that's even more now, probably 130, 140. And it doesn't look like that's slowing down anytime soon. So getting into the niches, finding, capturing new eyeballs is huge for Hilton. If they can now be who the campers think of or the glampers think of when they're taking their next trip, then that's differentiated supply. And it's great from an AutoCamp perspective because it's a set of loyal eyes and likely your future acquirer if you are able to drive bookings through Hilton. So win-win on all sides.
Yeah, 100%. That was kind of the main takeaway on last week's episode with Steve and Sarah, going into, you know, normally brands like Hilton and Marriott don't announce their partnership of the brand they're working with. It's like kind of like white labeled inventory, basically. For Hilton to announce the partnership with AutoCamp is pretty significant in the sense of they put a big spotlight on them, which I frankly never heard of AutoCamp before, you know, this announcement. So, you know, obviously, probably just because I'm new to the outdoor category, but I think it's definitely a big green flag for a potential acquisition in the future. So if not already in the works, we'll see. Like, obviously, they have to perform on the operations. They have to get good reviews. The loyalty members have to actually enjoy the product. So, you know, it's still a TBD, but if they can execute, it's a good position to be in for AutoCamp.
Yeah, I think that this is, I mean, it's not a secret that this business is like very difficult operationally. And for these smaller companies that are more niche, there might be a ceiling where scaling just becomes more and more difficult. And you need kind of the power of one of those big flags to kind of break through that ceiling. So I think that you're right, that we'll continue to see this. I was very surprised that it was a camping company. And I think we've given hotels maybe a little bit of flack for not being like quick to adapt, or maybe like they're kind of like the more seasoned gentleman in the room. But I think that this is an example of them just being like, let's try something new. It's like a little bit off brand. And I think that that's exciting.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, before we wrap up and conclude this episode, we do have to give a amazing shout out to our partners at Sojo. So if you want purpose-built gifts to go a long way with your guests or your owners, they build relationships with your guests. So get Sojo gifts. Sojo now offers gifts in addition to your amenities on autopilot. Thanks to the behind-the-scenes tech, Sojo takes your reservation data to trigger the shipment of both amenities and gifts to enhance every type of reservation. All you have to do is choose which gifts fit your brand best and handle the rest. Or they handle the rest. Sorry. And basically brighter turn days are ahead. You don't have to have turn days suck as much as they used to. So go ahead and get Sojo. If you go to getsojo.com/goodmorninghospitality, you'll get amazing 30 days free. So
and go ahead, Michael. And on that, there's nothing more incredible than walking into an accommodation with a personalized gift. Like it happens so rarely that it is a very, very memorable experience for the guest. So I love what Sojo's doing with that. It's more than just your turn day dispensables. It can really set the stay apart. So I love that.
You got to experience them in the wild. So no wonder why you're giving them such a glowing review.
That's what's up.
I love it. Well, I want to also give a big shout out. We had a pretty significant amount of live viewers today. So thank you guys for tuning in. Super exciting for the not only breaking news with Muse, but the overall kind of shift in the category of short-term rentals and hotels. I see we're having a lot more crossover in our topics and conversations. So soon we'll have to get Sarah and Steve, or both, one or the other, on the Monday show. I'm happy to bow out to control things behind the scenes and let one of them jump in. So yeah, excited for the crossovers here soon. Anything to conclude this episode for you guys?
Keep me in your thoughts for the week. Check in on Friday and see how I'm doing.
I was going to say, we'll use the Sojo gifts to send you a bottle of wine or something, something nice.
Good idea, Will. No, I loved the past news cycle this week. It makes these shows a lot of fun and easy for us to come up with content. There's a lot to cover, and I don't think that this is anything that's going to slow down anytime soon. So good stuff.
Exactly. You guys make it great. I love hosting the show with you guys. You're awesome. Shout out to Jamie Lane as well, who comes in once a month. And for our hotel crew, really exciting stuff. And for all of our live viewers, seriously, it's so awesome to see the comments and the engagement from Edward to Terry to Matt to everybody else, to LinkedIn user who, no idea who you are, but thank you for partaking in the show. It really does mean, like, I don't know if I've been thinking about like the privilege that we've had to have on the show for the audience that we have. And it's, in the beginning, it was just an honor. And now it feels like a responsibility in a good way to like show up for you guys every week, to bring our best content, to bring the best conversation. So really want to say shout out to our listeners and viewers for really, truly making this an awesome show. Without that, to add to that, I don't know what the conclusion is. Anyways,
without further ado,
there we go, Michael. Yes, we bid you farewell. Too much coffee. I think my mind is moving faster than my mouth, so I'll stop talking, and we'll see you all again next week. Make sure to like and subscribe if you haven't. Oh, shoot, I forgot to do this. I was going to do this in the beginning of the episode. For any of our listeners right now, stop what you're doing. If you're on the live or if you're listening, if you are the one of the first 10 people to give us a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify, I will be sending you a $10 gift card. That's $100 worth of coffee going out to our listeners and viewers. So give us a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. Send me a picture, whether it's through a DM on LinkedIn. You can email me, will@hospitality.fm, and I will make sure to send you $10 for your coffee of choice. Just leave a review, and we love you guys. See you next week.